Welcome, everyone. Let's pray once more and ask God's blessing on our time. Oh, Lord, we come this morning and our hearts thrill that we serve a living Savior, one who has risen, one who has accomplished redemption for us. And Lord, we pray that you would stir up our hearts to worship today, Lord. We pray that you deepen our love for Christ, our passion for Christ, our confidence in him, Lord, and that he would be glorified in all we do. And pray that you would bless this time in Sunday school now today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are doing something totally out of the ordinary this morning. We're in a break here between Foundations of Grace that Nick has been teaching, and Lord willing, Nick is going to pick up teaching through Habits of Grace, and there are more copies of that in the back. He's going to be in China the next two Sundays, but I think when he comes back from that, we'll get started on that. And probably the next two Sundays, we'll look at some of the Reformation biographies that we've looked at before. But so this is totally different. And what spurred this is that last Sunday evening, Joey and I had the privilege of driving to Bethlehem to hear a performance of Bach's St. Matthew Passion. And, pardon? I'm John. Yeah, John. I'm in good shape. Okay. John's St. John Passion. Okay. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So we've not really ever in Sunday school taken the occasion to talk much about Bach. We've looked at Luther and Calvin and so on. But Bach also had an incredible influence on the church, on the history of the church. Aside from just his influence musically, most would say probably the greatest composer that ever lived. I was struck in a book that someone had recommended to me, reading this one section. In the last, Bach lived 1685 to 1750, very much a part of the Lutheran tradition. And the last 20-some years of his life, he was the cantor at Leipzig at St. Thomas Church. And in that position, he wrote cantatas for every Sunday of the year. It was a liturgical church, and so that means what passage of scripture you read on that particular Sunday from the Old Testament, the Gospels, and the Epistles, it was all spelled out. And Bach wrote a cantata. Their services were about 3 hours long. And so part of that would be a lengthy sermon, but also included in that would usually be a half-hour cantata that would be based somehow on one of the texts that was tied to that day, and that's also what someone would preach on. This little book that I was looking at just says, let me just back up a little bit here. This, he's talking about a cantata, he said, would become the first of five complete annual cycles, a cantata for every Sunday and feast day of the ecclesiastical year, some 300 in all. There are few achievements in the history of art to compare in ambition, scope, or artistry with Bach's composition of cantatas during those first years in Leipzig. And to them he added his passions, the St. John Passion for his first Easter, the St. Matthew for his fourth. Only a deep sense of mission could sustain such an extraordinary outpouring of work. As the Bach scholar Friedrich Schmidt observed, the cantatas and passions were not intended to be works of music or art on their own, but were meant to carry on by their own means the work of Luther, the preaching of the word and of nothing but the word. And I think he understood that well. And the thing that struck me just in listening to the St. John Passion again is just what a beautiful example it is of how are we to read Scripture. We're to read Scripture and engage it. That's one of the places we're going to start with the habits of grace in terms of the importance of meditation. I don't just read to gain facts, but I interact with what I read. And so I thought it would be valuable first just to look at the text that Bach uses here for the St. Matthew Passion, and then we'll listen to just a little bit of it. I know that many of you don't have much background in listening to Bach, and that's fine. I know as far as styles of music, there, you have to kind of get used to things. I can remember 40 years ago when I first heard Steve Green, I thought, wow, that's kind of wild for church, you know? It's got a drum and so, but things have changed, haven't they? And I grew up in a Lutheran tradition, so I've always loved the grand chorales, the grand hymns of the church. When we first came here and we started to sing some of those more Baptist songs, which I'd never heard, things like Michael is chosen to sing at the end of the service, I serve a risen Savior. I thought, ooh, this is church. You know? But we get used to different styles. And so the same can be true of Bach. So I understand that people that don't have much background there, you don't tend to want to sit down and listen to 2 hours of Bach, which I delight to do. But at any rate, the main thing I want to talk about here is just what Bach does with the text. And some of you may not know just even what it means that he wrote the St. John Passion. So what he does is he takes the text of the Passion account directly from the Gospel of John, John chapter 18 and 19, and he sets the whole thing word for word. So it's like you're going to a play almost, so that you hear the evangelist, that would be John giving the account of the story, but then you hear Jesus, you hear Pilate, and the choir becomes the crowd. And so the crowd is saying, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar, and so on. So that's the shape of it. But the thing that is so amazing is that interspersed with that, Bach puts two main things. He puts chorales, which we just call hymns, and then he also puts arias, which would be things that a soloist would sing, and they are all commenting on what we've just heard. And it just deepens so much the things that you hear there. Unlike many of the cantatas, and even the St. Matthew Passion, St. John Passion does not have huge choruses. It's really got a chorus at the beginning and the end, and that's it. The rest, the chorus is just, they're there, and they're saying, you know, crucify him, or we have no king but Caesar, or whatever. And then in between all those, they're singing these amazing chorales that are saying, here's what you learn from that. So what I did was I just copied the text from the program that we had last week, and I put a box around everything here that's not from the Gospel of John, so you can see something of what he's doing. I want to just look through some of that, and then we're going to listen to just little bits to give you an idea of that. But again, my main thing is to look at the words. And this first chorus is amazing, but amazing, I think, because of the text. It starts by quoting Psalm 8. We know it as, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And people, as they look at the two passions, I think it's pretty clear that the focus of the St. John Passion is that Christ is the King. He is the King. He's coming to do battle, and he is the victor. And he accomplishes what he came to do. He is in control from beginning to end. That's the focus of John. The focus of the St. Matthew Passion is he is our great high priest who offers that sacrifice that satisfies divine wrath. So here he starts by saying, Lord. He starts calling him Master. He's great. But the middle of the chorus, here's the prayer. Show us through your passion that you, the very Son of God, in every age, even in deepest degradation, have become magnified. So it's saying, Lord, come and grip our hearts with your passion. May your name be magnified. May we see that you are truly the Son of God. So then he starts into John 18. And again, just the noticing the emphasis of the Gospel of John, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would occur to him, went out and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered, and the choir sings with the orchestra, Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus from Nazareth. And Jesus, his first words there after that is he just says, Ich bin's, I am he. And you know in the Gospel of John what happens, right? They all fall to the ground. They all fall to the ground. They drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked again, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I told you I am he. If you seek me, let these men go. So we turn the page and we get our first chorale. And it's just a hymn. It's one verse of a hymn. O mighty love, O love beyond all measure, which brought you to this road of martyrs. I lived in the world with pleasure and joy, and you are made to suffer. And so then the story goes on. And so you've got the soldiers coming and taking Jesus, binding him, taking him to Caiaphas. The first aria we get here, number 7 down there, by the alto. Look at the words again. So this is right after they bound Jesus and they're taking him away to Annas and then to Caiaphas. And look at what the alto soloist sings. My Savior is tied and bound in order to release me from the knots of my sins. He's the one that's tied and bound so that he can release me from the things that tie and bind me, and from all my body's torment, fully to heal me, he lets himself be wounded. And then Simon Peter and John, it says another disciple, follow him. And the soprano soloist sings this wonderful aria saying, I follow your lead with joyous strides and not forsake you, my life and my light. Look at this prayer. So here, what have you read in the Bible? You've read that these two disciples are following Jesus. How does your heart respond? Your heart says, help me to follow you, Jesus, always. And so the aria says, push forward with the course and do not cease to draw me along, to prod me and to urge me onward. And then the story goes on. So we're not going to take time to look through all of that. But if you just flip over here, let's go to the next page. And again, just look at the chorale, and the texts of these all are just so amazing. This is right after they've just slapped Jesus in the face, and the chorale, people are responding to that. Who has struck you so, my Savior, and with torments such meanness laid on you? For you are not a sinner like us and our own children. You know nothing of transgression. I and my sins, as numerous as grains of sand found along the sea, these have in you awakened the sorrow that assails you and this most grievous martyrdom. And then the next account talks about Peter denying Christ. And right before the box at the bottom there, you see it says, the cock crowed, and Peter recalled the words of Jesus and went out and wept bitterly. And the evangelist, as he sings that, usually it's very straightforward what the evangelist sings, but there are those few places where here he weeps bitterly and the notes go up and down and all over as he weeps. So here's the reaction, okay? So here comes an aria by the tenor. So this is obviously as though he were Peter. What's Peter thinking? What's he saying here? Ah, my soul, where would you go at last? Where shall I quicken my spirits? Shall I stay or shall I take hills and mountains upon my shoulders? With the world there is though no solace. In my heart are pain and anguish for my evil deeds, for the servant has denied his Lord. And then look at this chorale. Okay? How should I respond when I see what Peter did? This is so beautiful. The prayer is this. Peter, in his lack of thought, has denied his God, but with truthful sight, he weeps bitterly. Jesus, look on me as well when I am unremorseful, when I have committed evil, arouse in me pangs of guilt. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? So here Jesus denies him almost thoughtlessly, and the cock crows and Jesus looks at him. And here's the prayer. Oh Lord, when I deny you, would you look at me and arouse my heart to repentance? Then we get to part two, the next page. Again, just look at the first chorale as part two starts. Top of page 10 here, number 15. Christ, who made us blessed, has committed no wrong. He was for us in the night captured as a thief, led before a godless crowd and falsely indicted and mocked, scorned, and spit upon. For so it was written. And then you get the whole interchange where Pilate says, so you're the king of the Jews. Are you a king? You go down to the bottom of the page and Jesus says, yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight to keep me from being delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. And so next page, you get to another chorale. Ah, King. He's addressing Jesus as the mighty King. Ah, King, so mighty in all ages, how can I proclaim your faithfulness sufficiently? No human heart could ever now imagine what gifts it might accord you. I cannot fathom in my thoughts how incomparable is your mercifulness. How can I then convert your deeds of love into my works? And so goes on, the people end up calling for Barabbas. And then at the end of it, it says, but Barabbas was a murderer. And then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And again, the evangelist, the notes just, you can hear the flogging. And then there's this amazing aria. Some of you got to hear Elijah in the fall with Deshaun Burton singing Elijah. And Deshaun was the bass soloist. And this was just amazing to hear him sing this. But just look at the words here, number 19. So this is thinking about Jesus being flogged. Observe now, my soul, with fearful satisfaction, with bitter joy, and with a heart half anguished, your highest good in Jesus' torments. Among the thorns which have pierced him, blossom the flowers of heaven. You can pluck much sweet fruit from his most bitter wormwood. Therefore, gaze unceasingly upon him. Wonderful. And then the next aria, consider how his shoulders, stained with blood, are likened to the heavens on which, when once the deluge and water subsided from our flood of sins, the most lovely rainbow stood as God's own sign of grace. Just going to skip ahead here. The next section, again, just goes on, and we'll listen to more of this next section, depending on how the time goes, as Jesus is tried and sentenced to be crucified. And at the top of on the next page, number 23, up there at the top, right above the box for 24, and Jesus took his cross and went to the place of skulls, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. And the bass sings this aria that says, "Ilt," which means hurry, run, run, run. And then this little choir comes in and says, "Where? To where?" And he says, "To Golgotha. Go to Golgotha. Go to the cross. The cross's hilltop, for your well-being blossoms there." And then I'm just going to flip through here, go all the way over to number 32. And this is right after Jesus has said, "It is finished." The alto soloist sings an aria here. Let's look at the top, number 30 actually, just look at the top. And this is, I think, another place where you see John's focus on Jesus is the victor. He's the king. So even though it's, "Es ist vollbracht," and it's all very sad and down, but then there's this middle section where all of a sudden the orchestra goes mad and they don't hit the microphone. And what do we have here? Judas' hero triumphs with might and ends the fight. It is finished. And then again, this beautiful bass aria with the choir singing a chorale under it with different words. So the bass is singing this. Look at these words. Oh, I love listening to this. "My precious Savior, let me ask you, since you were battered upon the cross and said thyself, 'It is fulfilled,' am I from death now delivered? Can I, through your death and suffering, inherit the heavenly kingdom? Is the world's full redemption here? In pain, you indeed can say nothing, but you bow your head and say in silence, 'Yes.'" Yeah, you just hear, yeah, yes, that is what's happened. So precious. And then, as you go on, you just come to the end of, let's just go to the last page, and then we'll listen to a little bit. The final chorus, number 39, after Jesus is laid in the tomb, it says, "Rest well, you holy limbs and body, where I no longer shall bewail. Rest well, bring me also rest. The tomb to which you are consigned, no longer containing grief, will open heaven to me and close the gates of hell." And that it ends with a hymn. It ends with a chorale. Look at this prayer. Oh, isn't this your prayer? "Oh Lord, let your own dear angel bear my soul at its final hour into Abraham's bosom. My body in its chamber of sleep, in peace of anguish and pain, rest till the day of judgment. And then from death awaken me, that my eyes may behold you in joy complete, O Son of God, my Savior, and my throne of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, hear me. I would praise you eternally." Isn't that precious? So I just hope those words are an encouragement. So we only have 20 minutes or so. Let's listen to just a little. I'm going to skip around. I'm going to just start with the first chorus. We won't go all the way through it. Listen to a couple of other things. But let's follow. And in the beginning here, the box music obviously is painting all of this. So you hear the turmoil in the strings of what's happening. And then these piercing suspensions in the oboes, this pain and suffering. And then these mighty cries, "Lord, Lord, you are majestic. So we'll listen a little bit here.
$223,000 in new money from the state as unemployment.
skip ahead.
Jesus ging mit seinen Jüngern über.
Here's the first chorale, number 3. Skip ahead to number 9. Just a little bit of this aria.
Simon Petrus aber folgte Jesu nach und ein anderer Jünger.
I follow you with joyous steps. You hear it in the music. This is a soprano solo.
Da führten sie Jesu von Da sprach Pilatus zu ihm:
So bist du denn noch ein König?
Jesus antwortete:
Du sagst, zu geboren und in die Welt kommen, dass ich die Wahrheit zeugen soll. Wer aus der Wahrheit ist, der höret meine
Pilatus zu ihm.
Was ist Wahrheit?
Und da er das gesagt hat, ging er hinaus zu den Juden und spricht zu ihnen.
Ich finde keine Schuld an ihm. Ihr habt aber eine Gewohnheit, dass ich euch einen losgebe. Wollt ihr nun, dass ich euch der Juden König losgebe?
Da schrieben sie wieder alles an und sprachen:
Ist diesem nicht, ist diesem Sandler Zahrerbar, ist diesem Sandler Barabar, Barabar.
Barabas aber war ein Mörder. Und die Kriegsknechte flochten eine Krone von Dornen und setzten sie auf sein Haupt.
und legten ihm ein Purpurkleid an und sprachen.
Skip to the very end now, if I can, here. Just start a little bit of the final chorus, and then we'll listen to the last chorale. So this is 39. Skip to the last chorale. This is number 40.
Thank you.
hard to keep stopping and starting, but mostly hard to keep stopping. But, wonderful. I hope that was something of an encouragement to you to just look at Bach and what a pointing of people to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this day for a Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to go to Calvary's cross and that there you fought that awful battle for us and you are the victor and it is finished. And we praise you, Lord, that full atonement you have made and that we can trust in you and know that one day we shall behold you and worship you forever and ever. O Lord, deepen our love for you day by day. Give us hearts to joyfully follow you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we'll stop there.